All right, welcome to section 7. So we, though quickly, pretty much went over the essence of Project 3 last time. So what I thought we'd do tonight is really just do casual Q&A, or we can rehash some of the code walkthrough, answer any questions, and let me at least draw your attention to what I mentioned in lecture tonight, which were these are Blake's, the gentleman who you'll meet in 2 weeks' time, who did some section notes in years past. And among the features of this section notes are, for instance, his interpretation back when he was a student in the class 4 or so years ago now as to what Wahoo's interface might look like. So for those of you listening along at home, I've just gone to the section notes page for section 6 from last week and clicked on Blake's links to the view servlet. So for instance, and you can certainly interpret this as you will, and that might have been what you envisioned anyway, but do realize that the spec asks that you display categories, for instance, at the bottom or at the side or in some way that categorizes things and doesn't just dump everything out onto one uninteresting page. The upside of now being server-side is that we can start to take user input as opposed to the client-side stuff, which, like in Xtube and even My Blockbuster, I mean, those fundamentally are rather unmanageable web pages when you're outputting all of the content and then just using those fragment IDs to hop around. It's not a clean solution. Now we can be more clean. So, open floor. Yes?
Do you have any hints about passing users subscribed categories into the XSL template? Specifically for checking checkboxes?
You know, it's occurring to me, I don't know how well pizza plays on podcasting, so maybe I should wait to eat. So how to pass in the, for subscription purposes, passing?
Right. Well, yeah, I'm using checkboxes to set preferences, but I don't want, basically I want categories that the user is already subscribed to that already be checked on the page.
Oh, okay. So you want when the user visits the subscription page, what do we call it? The prefs page, the prefs servlet. You want those boxes to be pre-checked. So what you could do, it depends on how you're taking, where you're getting the data from. So where are you getting the categories from, first of all, to pass to the prefs servlet to display the categories in the first place?
Users.xml.
Okay, so you're getting it from the users for the prefs page, but how are you getting the list of categories to which they might subscribe?
Oh, I'm getting that from
okay.
I don't remember the call, but get
headlines. Okay, so we'll get headlines. We'll get the headlines for a current feed.
Whichever the, I don't remember what it is called.
But okay.
It's from the more
of okay, so the news category feed, I think we have a cache of it locally, for instance. So one way, and I mentioned this in a footnote, that works and allows you to move past some of this detail to focus on other aspects of the project is inelegant, but you can always, if you're passing to the style sheet that XML in the first place, as for instance a string, you could take the arguably hackish approach of just concatenating some additional XML to it if you want to strictly exist within XSLT. It's rather inelegant. Better approaches are to use something like JSTL, Java Standard Template Library, which would allow you, tag library, which would allow you in effect to pass the data more elegantly by way of objects rather than XML strings to your receiving style sheet or XHTML document. So you can do an alternative to this somewhat hackish string approach would be you could actually do some kind of DOM manipulation whereby you do parse that news category file as a DOM, but then you use the DOM API to add nodes to that, and then you apply the XSLT transformation to your DOM, which has some new nodes embedded in it. That is perhaps the simplest approach that doesn't require learning technologies or syntax beyond what we've already done. But there are other, dare say, even more elegant ways that are beyond the scope of what we've introduced, I would say. So inelegant as the string concatenation approach might be, it would not be frowned upon for the project's purposes simply because there's a lot of new stuff there already. And you'll see in Project 4 a little bit of use of this thing called JSTL. Sure. Other questions?
If I want to pass the parameters from when I click the hyperlink, do we need to submit to the page or do we need to use
To pass parameters in, you can simply embed it in the URL. So for instance, what Blake probably did here, or what anyone could do with links like these, is that these links are simply links back to the views, URL is irrelevant, back to the view servlet, so slash view, probably question mark, category equals quote unquote top finance stories or technology latest. So you're effectively then using a GET request. You could use a POST of some sort, but POST is not usually used when you just have hyperlinks like this. So more likely are you to use a POST for submitting a page of preferences that you want to update in the back end. So for instance, this was Blake's interpretation of how one could subscribe to news categories. So in this, the implication here is that when a user visits slash prefs, they see the categories to which they see the feeds to which they've subscribed in a given category, and Blake pre-checks them. This, in and of itself, is perhaps one of the most interesting, if frustrating, implementation details because of the issue I alluded to last time, which is that any of these boxes that aren't checked, they don't actually get submitted to the backend server. They only get checked with the they only get submitted with the value of quote unquote on if they are checked. And that's simply something to bear in mind because it means you can't iterate, for instance, over the variables you receive to decide which should stay in the user database and which should go. Rather, you need to iterate over something in the back end, or you need to, in one of your servlets, read in and parse that news categories feed in the first place, and then maybe keep it around in the session object, or as a private, better private data member for the servlet that's sort of omnipresent, and you can always go back in and access the various categories.
So in that case, we don't have to have hidden feeds for these feed pages.
A different feed for?
I don't have to have a hidden feed.
Oh, a hidden
user.
So you could. So one feature that HTML supports is this input type equals hidden, which allows you to pass more reliably data back and forth. You can use that certainly for the project purposes if you wanted to pass from the client to the server all of those categories. Generally, like in a real system, you wouldn't want to do that because it means the user can really start to mess with your system if you're trusting the data that comes from them rather than only trusting your backend source. That is to say, a malicious user could open the source of the web page, change the values, and then subscribe to feeds that you don't want to be offering them, for instance, or feeds that don't exist, but as present, break your own code. So you can do that. That's fine. And I would explain how you implemented it as such. But better would be, I think, more of a preference for server-side approaches to what categories exist, what feeds exist. Right? Only accept from the user data that tells you what to add or what to remove. I mean, you can envision other interpretations of this. You could have, maybe it's a little less efficient, but you could have next to each of the feeds a subscribe and an unsubscribe button. And for if you're a little maybe uncomfortable with some of this user input mechanisms, that might be the simplest implementation. Just put a button or a link for every feed such that the user can only add a feed or subtract a feed one at a time. And that is by, I dare say, the easiest implementation to do, because you know what you're getting, either yes, subscribe, or no, unsubscribe, based on the get string. And you could do it even with hyperlinks. You don't even need buttons. You could just have a little add or, you know, delete link next to it. So we will be looking for correct implementations, but not necessarily the one you might want to approach your boss with once you're comfortable with the technology. Yeah?
So then would it still be okay to just kind of put, like on one side of the page, you would list like the feeds that you subscribe to, and you can check the box to unsubscribe, and on the other half of the page, you could just add the
Sure. No, you could absolutely keep things in separate lists where, again, just for the recording here, you have a list of feeds to which the user's already subscribed, and then on the other side, feeds that you might also want to subscribe to. You don't need to intermingle them as Blake has done in his particular example. Really, interpret as you will, and while I might pass judgment verbally in some written comments, you would not, for instance, lose points for an implementation that you might not be proud of, but that does work. The lessons here are really to reinforce the capabilities, but not necessarily the best user interface. Other questions? Yeah.
Can you talk about RDF and RSS a bit? How we feel about subscribing or using our Wahoo to subscribe to anything?
Sure. So usually RSS or RDF subscriptions, for instance, the podcast, again, just to be clear, is an RSS feed. It just means it's an XML document that adheres to some standard, the RSS standard, and the iTunes-specific standard now, that allows you to, that essentially allows an application like iTunes to know what data to check each day for new information, new content. So adding an RSS feed to your site, frankly, would be as simple as, for instance, you could envision one approach this way. You could have a little text input box that the user can literally paste a URL of an RSS feed into. And by URL, I mean, for instance, something like this: New York Times RSS feed. So I just Googled New York Times RSS feeds. The New York Times syndicates a whole bunch of its news as RSS feeds. So, for instance, you can find thousands of these kinds of feeds these days, probably. If you wanted the user to be able to subscribe to an arbitrary feed, you could just quite simply have them type in a URL like this, newyorktimes.com/services/xml... And then you could simply store this in the user database file by modifying the user database code in Wahoo. And what you could do when they then log in to Wahoo, the view servlet might show them not only the categories to which they've subscribed with respect to Wahoo and moreover, but you could also have a link to the New York Times, quote-unquote, media and advertising feed, which if they click that, your back-end code, maybe a new servlet you write, could retrieve via HTTP this URL, and this would be in your Java code, and then you could apply a SAX parser to it, or a DOM parser, or an XSLT style sheet, frankly, is probably the easiest approach, and then you could render the New York Times news for them on that same page. And the nice thing about RSS is that it is standardized. RSS pretty much means that you have a channel with some number of items inside of it, and so you can write a style sheet, you can write a 10-line style sheet that actually displays all of this information in a very clean web page. Or alternatively, you yourself could hard code into Wahoo or, you know, include in an XML config file URLs like those available and let the user, like with Moreover, subscribe to the feeds without manually inputting in them. But in short, it's not hard because RSS RDF conform to standards that you can trust. And you don't have to bother with validation. You can assume it will be valid for our purposes.
In our Wahoo, we're basically going out and getting feeds. When the user asks for it is when we're going to go out and check it. We're not going to update it every...
It could be. Your personal touch could be to cache everything locally so that you're not constantly hitting Moreover servers, but that would be part of the personal touch section. But otherwise, yeah, you can hit it every time otherwise. Other questions? Yep. Nope.
So then if we were to do that, that interface for the press thing, where it was just one form where the user's feed, the feeds to which the user has already subscribed is like free checked. So then I guess the only way to really handle that is just to, when the user hits the submit button, then you just go and just subscribe to all the things that has been checked. You don't necessarily unsubscribe.
So with regard to unsubscribing, this is why you really need to or want to, in the back end, check the categories to which a user might subscribe. Because if you're using checkboxes, as Blake has used here, the problem with unsubscription is that if a user unchecks cool sites and then clicks submit, the server is not going to be informed with any sort of cool sites input variable because it's not going to be passed through because checkboxes only come through as on or not at all, which means that in the back end, what you really need to do then is iterate over on the server side all of the possible categories and then do a diff with those categories whose names were submitted with values of on, so that you know implicitly that if a variable was not submitted, it means the user either wants to unsubscribe to from it or still doesn't want to subscribe to it. It can be in either of two states.
But when we call it a save function, we're just when we call it a save function, all the things that we in the user object, all of these categories in the user object get written.
Correct. Correct, but if the user wants to unsubscribe, what you're going to need to do is make changes to the user object based on their form submission, perhaps removing news categories from their preferences, and then save that object out to clobber the old saved version.
Right, yeah, so then the user will start out with, the user object will start out with a bunch of categories, but it may not finish with the same.
Exactly. So it's really the unsubscriptions that can be non-trivial to implement, not because the logic is hard, but because the input mechanism is suboptimal. Yeah.
If you create a drop-down list, so say for example this 12 list.
Mm-hmm.
So we created 12 drop-down lists, and then the first element of the drop-down list was empty.
Mm-hmm.
For example, so empty would imply that you didn't want it. So they could go through one or more of those and pick a particular news feed that they want.
Sure. And you could add it one at a time. Sure.
Okay. And so then if any time that somebody, wanted to make a change and they submitted things, you could just unsubscribe to everything and then go through the 12 drop-down lists and just see what they have selected. And then...
Sure.
Now, if, for example, they chose, let's just say New York, CNN is a choice,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and they selected CNN multiple times just because you wouldn't be able to prevent that, is there a problem with subscribing to that multiple times? That would be the
I would say that would be point deduction worthy, to store redundant data in the user object like that.
But how would you know whether, I don't think that there would be an easy mechanism to...
Well, if I understand your proposal correctly, it sounds like rather than doing a diff on the server side with what news categories exist, it sounds like you're proposing every time the user modifies their preferences, just blow away their old ones altogether and resave them with the categories that they've actually checked. That's fine. The danger, though, is that you might blow away preferences. You need to be careful as to the categories for which you're blowing away preferences. Because if a user, like Blake's done here, only submits a category's worth of subscriptions or unsubscriptions, you don't want to blow away subscriptions from other categories. So the only ones you want to blow away from the user object are those categories in this current category, are those feeds from this current category, and then rewrite them with the ones that were actually checked. That's fine. But you have to store then in the user object. You have to be sure to store in the user object not only the feed name, but also the category name, so you know which ones to remove. And that would be fine, too. Any number of ways to approach this. And I would say for those of you playing along at home or listening here who are really struggling perhaps with this input mechanism, go perhaps with the simplest one, where you simply have links that if you click it, you subscribe. If you click it again, you unsubscribe. And you could do something clever like use color coding, where it's green if you're subscribed, it's red if you're not. And so you can just click and toggle states and just use get requests. And then you don't have to deal with these checkboxes or relatively more complicated UI mechanisms. But with that said, I think it's useful to acquaint yourself with what is perhaps the most common form of input for web-based applications.
RSS stuff is basically a pull technology, right? You mm-hmm. pull out of your crowd.
Sure.
Is there anything that would push the news feeds to the user?
Is there anything that would push the news feeds? Not really by definition of what XML-based applications are, RSS-based applications are. I mean, to push them to an application, the application in effect would have to be a server or would have to be a client perpetually connected to the server. Right, so with a PDA or something, if you wanted to update news, PDA, anything, any device like that, like a PDA or a pager that can go offline, sort of inherently, they tend to be clients by definition. because they connect to a server to get email or to get current news feeds. It's not common for a portable device to be a server because, if only because its address is constantly changing. And unless you have some kind of dynamic DNS setup, there's no way for a server to know how to contact you unless you contact it first. So as such, I would say that a push mechanism in this sense is sort of isn't consistent with the use case scenarios. They don't. It's a good question. How does Yahoo, or better, or more relevant, how does iTunes know when we update our podcast? They don't, which is why tonight when I upload some of this content, if you go to iTunes and you look up our podcast, it will not reflect that this section ever happened for a good day or so. However, if you subscribe to the podcast, iTunes is defined for podcasts to which you've subscribed to refresh it every time you launch iTunes. Or if you right-click the feed and choose Update Podcast. So iTunes gives you two interfaces. It shows you what podcasts you can subscribe to and what podcasts you have subscribed to. The latter are refreshed every time you load iTunes. The former are refreshed only when the iTunes.com server actually pulls content from Harvard's server.
Well, Yahoo claims to update right away and even have this feature called alerts where they'll alert you the second.
The only way, given the current framework of the web and HTTP, and I will just on conjecture alone go out on a limb and say the only way they can be doing that is by pinging the server for the last modification time of the file or doing a diff. It seems a bold statement to make, frankly.
Something in your house that's sending out an RSS feed or that has an RSS feed available, like there's a fire in your kitchen or something like that, Yahoo will monitor that and will send you an alert as soon as that changes. So maybe it's just what they're monitoring they ping, but that's just a lot of pinging.
It is, but I mean, given the client-server architecture of the web, that unless you've installed special software along with your feed, I mean, there's no other way they would know other than by checking the file's modification time or doing a diff of the content. Unless your server is proactively pinging them. So, but if you find more information and it's contrary, let me know. But that's a bold claim. Yep.
Subscribe to. Is there some way that we can write a servlet that would go and get like every minute or so? Or I guess we can't really do cron jobs on the FAS machines, but would there be some way to like have the cache like update like every minute or so?
Sure. No, it's a good question. It's sort of one of our suggestions in the personal touch section. You can, with a servlet environment, either cheat and just grab that if you're grabbing the feeds anyway, I mean, the simplest solution is probably every time someone hits the server, check, has a minute passed, and then also, along with the news feeds they want, go ahead and get the latest categories and lazily update your cache. Alternatively, you could fork off a thread within your servlet and put it to sleep for 60 seconds at a time, and every time it wakes up, it would grab the category from the server. So that would be one approach, too. And there might be built into the servlet API a mechanism for spawning cron-like threads, but I suspect you would probably just have to do it as an aspect of J2SE and fork your own thread. There might be a way to register a thread that's called. I don't know, but I suspect not. So the easiest way, frankly, is the lazy approach, which isn't even unreasonable, I would say, given that the design of the portal is to grab the latest news feeds anyway. So it's not as though you're not going to be contacting Moreover anyway. So
in either event, you'd need to worry about synchronizing that activity.
Yes, yes, yes. If you start updating central data, then yeah, you need to synchronize access to it. Or you need to synchronize writes to it. So reads, it's fine if a read is somewhat out of date, right? Even if thread A is going to get the new data, if thread B gets the old data, who really cares, probably, given that you're doing it every minute anyway. He just falls into the previous minute's bucket. But the writes would need to be synchronized if there were two entry points for writing. Other questions?
Yeah.
No, no section, no lecture next week. It's an official university vacation. For synchronization, writes are what cause consternation when it comes to synchronization. So you need to synchronize any time you might write two things to the same location. Reading is usually less of interest, which is why the only synchronized aspect of the project now is the user manager. Because if two users are using the system simultaneously, they're both sharing a database, and you don't want both threads to simultaneously try to write to the file. In Java, though, it's as simple as adding a synchronized keyword, and you can lock then the whole object or on a separate lock in order to protect against writes. So I'm not sure what you mean by read and write buckets.
Okay, so I thought you were referring to like going out and getting the news feed, which would be you going and getting into a stuff for the people that subscribe to.
Okay. Right. So, and actually, you've just reminded me, if you did take the lazy approach to updating the news categories, you would need to think about synchronization, because then multiple users, if they hit the server at the same time, for both of them, the servlets might realize, oh, the news category is out of date. Let's go get the latest cache. You don't want that to happen. You probably only want one of the threads to go do it. And by threads here, I mean Tomcat spawns for you up to like 150 threads, so you inherently have to synchronize those threads yourself if you're manipulating shared storage.
Would it be okay to, for example, look in your cache first and say, well, I've got something that's come in within an hour, so I'll just use that?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the reason we suggest as a personal touch updating the cache is because keeping the data around for an hour, a day, is probably pretty reasonable. Keeping it around since the 2 weeks ago that I downloaded it may be less reasonable. And so updating it dynamically on any schedule is a useful improvement. Right now, there is no schedule. There's me downloading it once a year. So. All right, why don't we officially adjourn here, and I can stick around for another 10 minutes or so for questions more personal.